and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast. If this is your first time, I always want to say tuning in, but you don't really tune in to a podcast.
This is your first time hitting play.
Yes. Welcome, and you should wonder why you're here.
We should just always stick with how we tried to like do something different last time.
And I know,
you said something about scuba diving.
We deep dive all the episodes of Grey's Anatomy. We're currently in season 12, episode 6 and 7. We have done all the previous ones and a little bit of season 18 and some other ones, or 17.
We're in the future. Don't you worry. We know what's going to happen. We're in the writer's room.
Exactly. Oh, that would be so... I would love to just be a fly on the wall.
Oh, okay. But not actually write it. Because I think I would like to write it.
Yeah.
I mean, have some thoughts and opinions.
If you want to hear Bree's fan fiction, this leads me perfectly into my next segue or segue. If you want to support us and help make the podcast continue, you can do so by going to patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can pledge to be an intern, a resident, or an attending. All those levels give you different bonus content. For example, you can get bonus episodes once per month. Our August one is out now. It is ridiculous. It is our game of Jeopardy that we played with our friend Chris. I listened back and it's made me laugh.
It's funny. I mean, Abby and I know nothing about the show.
No.
4 years later and we have no idea what Grey's Anatomy is about.
But speaking of bonus episodes, there's also one way, way, way back where you can hear Bree and I's fan fiction, mostly Bree's. She's a better writer than me. It's really good.
Yeah, so if you become a patron now, you get a backlog of all of that. You also get a backlog of all the post-op discussions. So
yes.
If you are a $10 patron, after we call time of death, we talk for about 5-10 minutes about one of our rounds.
Rounds.
And it's morning right now. It's afternoon, actually. We're going to be talking about Bailey and Ben and the issues they're having with Jackson on their couch. So once again, you have to be a $10 patron to get that. But if you join now, you can hear all of our post-ops.
Yep.
All on lock.
And if you are a patron, if you are like, wait, I don't hear that part, make sure you're listening on the Patreon app or you have that RSS feed embedded into your wherever you listen. You can Google it.
It's not that hard. I did it myself with
our
podcast.
Same, and I don't even know how I did.
I don't either, but it's pretty easy. Also, follow us on Instagram at The On-Call Room Pod. You can always contact us on our form at our website, theoncallroompod.com, and rate and review.
We got a good one that was, I won't read the whole thing. Well, he asked to be shouted out.
Yeah, do it.
I'm going to do it. It's, let me find it. Oh God, The On-Call Room.
And I'll just say, while Abby is looking for it, if you don't want to review it, you can always just hit 5 stars. If you don't feel like saying something, because sometimes you don't know what to say. And we get that.
Yeah. So this is HBK2121. And the subject is 40-year-old dude enjoying the vibe, which is a t-shirt that I'd like to make for myself. He says, so I'm a 40-year-old gentleman who watched Grey's up till about 2010 when having a kid and being a grown-up got in the way of me being able to watch on a consistent basis. Now that the kiddo is older, I decided to start from the beginning and do a full rewatch. Since I'm a fan of Binge Mode and other recap podcasts, honored to be in that sentence, I figured I would try to find a Grey's pod to listen to along with my rewatch. So with the help of Google, I found The On-Call Room. To put it bluntly, these bitches are fucking hilarious.
I like that he called us bitches.
Yeah, and he starred out the last part, and he also didn't write fucking, but I said it. I look forward to the pod as much as I do the episodes of the show. Hopefully I can get a shout out for the review when I catch up to the current episodes. Granted, I'm on episode 3 of season 2, so I'll hear it sometime in early 2022. Keep up the good work, ladies. I cannot wait for your future time when you are listening to this. And you were like, that's me.
I'm the one who did that.
You might be 41 by that time.
Oh, that's true.
You might have to make another review.
Yeah, and you might have stopped listening to the podcast by that point.
Should we make a t-shirt that has the name of our podcast and on the back are that really bad review that was like...
That, disappointed in...
Yeah, it was so fun. The heartbroken in New York one.
Yes, yes. We should do that.
Oh, wouldn't that be? I'd wear it.
What if we just made a t-shirt with all of our bad reviews?
I want the one that says, what is happening?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a screenshot of that. Ooh.
That's funny.
That is funny. So anyways, thank you for leaving that review. It helps people find the podcast and either listen to skip it or to keep going. So, anyways, that's about all of our announcements. Our post-op topic today, we said that.
We did. We already went there. It's NBD.
It is. I have a bachelorette party to go to this weekend.
That's great.
I'm excited because there's like a boat involved and we're like, you know, it's good girlfriends and...
Not as opposed to bad girlfriends.
Yeah. But I like the city that we're going to. Like, it's a cute little beachy town and whatever. So I'm excited about that. I feel old and tired.
Already thinking about it?
Yeah. Like, it's three nights.
That's a lot of nights to be with a bunch of bitches.
Right. And I just feel like I can't drink that much.
I still feel like I can drink quite a bit.
I know, you're better at it than me. But Jake was like, if you're absolutely miserable, I'll come give you an IV.
Oh, that's really nice.
And for the wedding, we're scheduling IVs the day after the wedding. Oh, like the good kind.
That's really smart. Like where you go to an IV bar.
Yeah,
thing.
But they're going to come to our hotel.
That's so smart.
I'm sure it's going to cost a fucking lot of money, but I kind of don't care because also that will take away my stress at the wedding that like, oh, I need to be careful.
Yeah, because I'm going to feel like shit tomorrow. Are they having a brunch? I would assume so.
Probably.
They'll have something.
Something, yeah.
I feel like that family does not.
They need to bring the brunch to me.
Yeah.
I will be in bed.
Please put it in front of me, like a buffet in your room. And everyone can just come to your room. But that would suck too, because you'd be like, get out of my room. Yeah. So just a personal buffet.
Also, something that's funny is that the night before the wedding, my friend Casey, who I'm maid of honor for, she wants me to spend the night in her hotel room with her. And you don't want to. No, she did that for me too, which granted I was 25 then and we're like, I'm 32 now.
Yeah.
So it's a little, but whatever. And like Jake and, no, we did live together. But anyways, I was like, oh, well, where's David staying? And she's like, in your room with Jake. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And so we have a king bedroom. Like they're going to share a bed, which they love to do, those boys. And they're very intimate with each other. But
that could be.
I mean, they wrestle and it gets sweaty and sometimes weirdly intimate. But I was like, ew. I was like, I need to tip the cleaners that morning to do a full turnover. Like,
yeah.
Also, that's the room the guys are all getting ready in. So so after the wedding, the room I get to go back to is going to be fucking trash.
Yes, it will be.
With like whiskey and Bush Light all over it.
Yes, it will be. You're just going to have to, it's not your wedding and you're just going to have to.
But I am going to be, I'm going to leave a 20 for the cleaner and be like, please.
Write a note like, hey.
Turnover.
Hey, my husband's best friend slept with him tonight. Can you please do a full turnover?
Yes.
Be like, what?
They actually, this weekend was his bachelor party, which it was just three dudes and McCoy in the woods.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, they had a really great time. They like cooked steaks and just hung out. But I did receive a video of them slow dancing with each other. I think they were both super drunk. I think what happened was the conversation came up that the groom was taking dance lessons and I think they were like, show us your moves.
Yeah.
So he put on their first dance song and there is a video of Jake and him dancing so intimately to the song. And Casey sent it to us and she's like, they've ruined my first dance song. And it's true because now when I hear it, all I will picture
is Jake
is that.
And yeah.
Like completely. What if like you got a photo of John and his best friend sexually dancing to that song you first danced
I would be
to.
Like, we need a new song. This right. song, yeah, is burn it down.
Yeah. So anyways, the final push of wedding things.
Yeah. And then
my two best friends are married off and I can.
Yeah. But then we have another friend who's getting married
That's true.
In like a year.
But I'll play a role, but not as big of a role.
Right.
I don't have to officiate.
Yeah. You don't have to officiate.
Who knows?
You don't have
so to maybe I'll get hired.
Yeah.
I probably won't get hired.
But you could. Who knows? You did such a good job at
Thank
mine.
You.
That
it was
you
an
might.
Audition.
Yeah. I went to Coast Guard this weekend.
Tell me about it. Coast Guard USA. Tell the people.
So Coast Guard USA is Grand Haven, Michigan. It is a festival of Coast Guard it's super nostalgic about it because we went every year as a kid. I saw your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
she said you had Laura. You yelled for her.
Yeah. And we went to the parade and we went downtown. And went to this place called Odd Sides. And
isn't it cute?
Oh yeah, I've been there many times. But we got a seat outside so we could watch the fireworks and have drinks. It was so ideal.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so we sat outside.
And you could see the fireworks?
I mean, we couldn't really see the low ones very well, but we could see plenty of the fireworks.
How did you get so lucky?
I don't know. We were sitting inside at Oddside, and it was like we heard them going off because I guess, too, one of the local news anchors told them they had to start early because it was going to start raining.
Yeah, is that why they didn't do the musical fountain?
Yeah, it did start raining. So I think they went off like a half hour before, so we were still having drinks, and I was like, fuck. And we heard like one, and Rachel was like, my sister was just kind of like, oh, I think they're just like preparing us. But then we started like hearing them go off, and I just looked outside and there were like three tables available, so we just moved outside.
That's ideal.
Yeah, had a couple drinks, watched the fireworks. It was great.
Wow.
And then went on the boat on Sunday, which was really nice. I sat in a kiddie pool in my parents' backyard.
That photo is excellent.
Which was really funny because there was an inner tube in a kiddie pool, and I was like, I'll just float, but my butt just sat on the bottom of the pool.
Well, you felt supported.
I did, and it was instead of just like sitting in a kiddie pool, but it was freezing because it was like hose water, you know?
Yeah.
But it was very summer, like backyard.
Did you kill a circle of your dad's perfect grass by having the
probably because they kept it up all night. So we probably did. But with you saying like getting old, what made me think of it is I had to stay in my old bedroom with my childhood bedroom.
Is it Paris themed still?
It is not. Like it's everything's been redone up there and it looks really nice. My mom has like some wedding photos of us in my room.
Oh.
Which is really sweet. And they got a newish bed, like a new old bed in there. When we used to sleep there, it was a double. And it was so soft that we would both roll into each other. And John was like, I cannot sleep in that bed. And I was like, well, there's a queen up there now. It's going to be fine. But that too was too small now that we have a king. And he kept saying I was snoring really loud all night, but I wasn't sleeping. So I think he was hearing himself snoring. And because he was snoring really loud. At one point, I physically kicked him. Like, I didn't just nudge him. I like
kicked him.
I horse kicked him. Like, shut the fuck up, dude.
I do the body slam.
Oh, like, I do that all the time.
To shake the bed.
Oh, yeah. And then you roll over and pretend you're sleeping. Yeah. No, this was full on like, I want you to know I'm mad at you and shut the fuck up. You were snoring way too loud. But then, the point is too old. Like, it was nice to stay and not have to drive back and forth, but it's like nice to come home to your own room and your own bed. And then I couldn't sleep well Sunday night in our bed because I had Sunday scaries. And just imagine, like, I don't know what I was doing. I must have been half asleep. But I was laying down and I had my arms in the air. And I was just scratching my hand. And John rolled over and he was like, are you okay? And I was like, what? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just scratching my hand. He was like, why are your arms in the air? I was like, I don't know. Up in the air.
I've done that before, or like I have my legs just like weirdly up and it's just
it was just comfortable. I don't know why. I like couldn't sleep and I was just kind of like, but I think I actually was kind of sleeping.
Yeah. You were floating between the two realms.
Yeah, but imagine rolling over and seeing your partner just like on a roller coaster.
You
like,
should have pulled a prank and just been like, Or like, did you see that TikTok where the woman looks like she's levitating to scare her husband?
Yeah, I should have done that. I should have said that something was very wrong.
I can't put my arms down.
I can't put my arms down.
I had a hotel room by myself this whole weekend because I was in Bloomington, Indiana.
Nice.
Which was a very lovely town. And I loved it. Had a huge, it was like one of those Hyatts that has like a living room area and it was huge. The pillows I did not like, but everything else was ideal. I slept so good. Didn't have to wear earplugs.
Yep.
It was fucking incredible. And then last night, Jacob was snoring.
Well, my husband, John, is leaving on Saturday for 5 days, 6 days. I think this will be the first time that I've spent the night alone in
this house.
Yeah.
Are you nervous a little bit?
No, I'm going to sleep so well until I hear a noise in the middle of the night and am very afraid. The one thing I'm stressed out about is the mice thing because John had, but we came home. Marge was home alone all weekend.
Tell the listeners about Marge.
Oh, did I not?
No, you just texted me.
Oh, so I told them that we had a mouse problem. Yes. Oh, yeah, because then that Friday. So I woke up. So the pest people came. Update, y'all. Pest people came. And I woke up Friday morning, and I was getting ready to go to work. And I looked into the dining room, and Marge has all those, like, mouse cat toys. Yeah. So I was, like, kind of did a double take. And Marge, actually, in the same spot she is right now, was sleeping on the dining room rug. Like, so proud, but not like her head down, like sleeping up. Mm-hmm. Like, she was kind of like one eye open sleep and had three dead mice around her. Like, she had brought them into the dining room and placed them around her. She was so fucking proud. And I just screamed for John. I was like, what? Dead mice. And so he came down and he swept them up. And like, I was like,
and they were dead.
Oh, they were dead. He said, like, Marge had chewed on them. And like, yeah, she had demolished
so
them.
What I'm confused about is, why did she just now start doing this?
Well, because I don't think we ever had mice.
Okay. Hello, Marge.
So we obviously know, like, Marge is a killer, and she would have been killing mice. I honestly, but we haven't seen any since, and none of the traps have gone off. So I think there were three blind mice who entered our home.
Yeah.
And Marge killed them.
Dude, Marge.
Yeah, because I was super afraid over the weekend that we were gone the whole time. I was like, we're just going to come home to a fuck ton of mice everywhere. And there was nothing.
How do you think she killed one and then
another came out?
Yeah, like, how did they have to watch their siblings die?
I don't know. That's what I wondered too.
And she did it all in the night.
All in the night, because there were no mice.
That's when the mice are fucking like, all right, let's go, bitches.
Yeah, there was, nothing. When we went to bed, and then, I woke up I was leaving at about 8:30 in the morning.
I wish you'd taken a photo.
I almost did, but I was like, do I want a photo of dead mice on my phone?
I would like the photo.
If she ever does it again, I'll take a photo from kind of far away.
Just the fact that she had them placed around her.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was happy she didn't bring them up to bed. To be like, look at my kill.
Which, like, she does climb on your bed. And,
yeah.
Like, oh my God, if she dropped a dead mouse on you or an alive one.
Yeah, I would, But Marge doesn't usually carry her toys upstairs, so I feel like we're safe in that regard.
I am really impressed with her.
I was really proud. I mean, but then I was all like panicky that she was killing mice, but I was like, no, that's what they're supposed to
do. Yeah, also you're probably like, I'd like my money back from the pest services.
Yeah, I have a cat that just destroyed them, so I hope they're gone. But I don't know.
So, because you saw it in your kitchen, right? Is that where
No, we saw it in the basement.
Oh, wow. So they traveled up.
They traveled up, probably through the walls somehow.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's terrifying.
I love this. I need Marge to come to my house when I have a mice problem. Yeah. She's so great.
She is. She was pretty proud of herself.
Yeah, I would be too. It was a long night's work.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, shall we talk about Grays? Today we are talking about season 12, episode 6 and 7, The Me Nobody Knows and Something Against You. I'll read the first one. We do have monologues this week. According to this man's family, he was not a smoker, but the truth is he smoked 2 packs a day in his car for 20 years while his wife and children slept. Sometimes the patient's shame is the elephant in the room. They try to hide it from us, but you can't hide from a surgeon because the body doesn't lie. The truth is right here for everyone to see, and it doesn't need to say a single word. They say shame controls every aspect of human behavior. It's about who we believe we are, but in the end, you can't hide, and the body doesn't lie. The truth is right there for the world to see. Our shame can choke us, kill us, can rot us from the inside if we decide to let it. Don't let that happen to you. Meredith Grey.
And the second one, every surgeon is trained to look for problems, to look at a person and say, what's wrong with you? We're trained to foresee the ugliest possible outcome. When your job is to make people better, you're automatically inclined to look for the worst in them. It's hard to fight against certain biases. It's important to keep an open mind. It's how we learn. It's how we grow. It's how we move forward. Until we don't. Until we let our biases take over. Until we succumb to what feels right or good or satisfying in that moment. Because even then, deep down inside, we usually know what we're going... We usually know we're going to regret it, Meredith. Great. I almost did it without one.
It was great. You did great. Okay. Shotgun workup. We have Kamal Aboud, Ollier's disease, enchondromas, Robert Matthews, internal bleeding, kidney bleed, mild concussion, clot, Angela James, displaced clavicular fracture. Wow, that's hard to say. clavicular
yeah,
fracture, torn subclavian artery, Paul James, diabetes, diabetic nerve pain, Simon Jaffe, end-stage kidney disease, osteosarcoma, Gary Watson, intellectual disabilities, swallowed object, Loretta Brown, aortic stenosis, heart failure.
All right, so for rounds, our first round, we have Kamal came from Jordan to Seattle to get treated for Ollier's disease, which had heavily deformed his hands. April brought him here with Nathan Riggs, y'all. Bum, bum, bum. Nathan Riggs. The tumors were more extensive than Jackson originally thought they were, and Jackson officially recommended amputation of both hands after biopsy revealed precancerous cells in both of them. However, after consulting with Callie, they decided to proceed with the surgery, attempting to remove the tumors without having to amputate his hands and agreeing to amputate only as a last resort. They went into the surgery and were able to find enough usable bones to remove the tumors and keep his hands using grafts from his ribs. After surgery, they showed him his hands. He was told he'd need a few more surgeries, but he could keep his hands. And then post-surgery, this prompted April and Jackson to thank each other and have a long, meaningful hug. She was about to invite him home when Riggs came out and they were going to get drinks and talk war stories. Also, it's important to note that when Owen saw Riggs, he told him that immediately post-surgery, he needed to leave.
Then we have Meredith, as chief of general surgery, has to work with Penelope Blake for the day. She is constantly on her, quizzing her and berating her for missing steps and making small mistakes. She blames Penny for a block in the catheter of Robert Matthews, saying that she didn't catch the mistake, she caused it. She finds Amelia in the bathroom where she admits that Penny is not good enough to be in this program, and as hard as she tries to rise above, it's not working. Callie comes out of the bathroom and accuses Meredith of bullying Penny and acting small. This causes Meredith to sit in the sanctuary waiting for divine intervention while she talks to Derek. Alex comes in and puts an arm around her. Richard also talks to her about where he knew where Penny came from, but since he is attempting to not coddle Meredith, he put aside his personal reasons and hired her. He compares it to when he made the decision to hire Meredith in the first place. Meredith then decides to keep Penny on her service all week, surprising Penny. During their next few shifts together, Callie now accuses Meredith of being too easy on her and not actually teaching her. Penny ends up telling Callie she is embarrassed for her standing up for her and says she can do it on her own. And in the end, Meredith does sort of decide to be a good teacher towards her.
Then we have Richard and Maggie are working together on the patients Paul and Angela James. Paul is Angela's father and his severe diabetes, he has severe diabetes, which he is keeping secret, could have been part of the reason that they were in a car accident. He's an old friend of Richard and Adele's, and when Richard approaches him about his diabetes, saying he needs to tell his daughter, Paul gets defensive and accuses Richard for not understanding because he has no kids of his own. This is, causes an interesting conversation between Richard and Maggie about what role they each play in each other's lives and if they are going to be open about it. In the end, Richard talks to Paul about how he cheated on Adele, and out of the mess and the shame came something incredible, his daughter. Him and Maggie have a sentimental moment where they acknowledge the role they play in their lives.
Simon had been waiting for a kidney transplant for 18 months. He needed a 6-antigen match, which was really hard to find. They had finally found him a kidney, so he came into the hospital. During his pre-op exams, he refused to take off his hat. They eventually got him to take it off, and they saw a very large lump on top of his head. Callie looked at it and diagnosed osteosarcoma. It was aggressive but localized. The tumor had good margins, so Amelia wanted to resect it. But Callie said that that would leave him with a large gap on top of his head, and with a wound that size, he'd get kicked off the transplant list. Joe then had the idea for them to take the skull and scalp from the kidney donor. They did the scalp transplant first and then the kidney transplant. Both transplants went well and he was stable and awake afterward. Joe then accused Penny of stealing her patient as she swooped in and participated in the surgery and the aftercare. Edwards then asked Penny out for drinks after she saw how Joe treated her.
Then we have Nathan Riggs officially gets hired at the hospital without anyone knowing besides Bailey, which not great. This upsets Maggie as he is also a cardiothoracic surgeon and is doing consults and jumping in on her cases without her approval. During a surgery together, she ends up finding him charming and also smart and capable. Owen, on the other hand, is very upset that he is there, but we don't know why. He yells at Bailey in the middle of the hallway that it was a horrible decision to hire him. He is also seen in the on-call room having a panic attack and suffering from PTSD again. He won't tell Amelia what's wrong or Meredith, but him and Meredith have a moment where she steps in to be his person.
And Bailey wants Jackson off her couch and threatens Ben that if he doesn't ask him to leave soon, he won't ever have his wife back. Jackson and April go out to dinner where they are supposed to talk about the divorce, but instead they have a really good time and she gets paged before they can have a real conversation. Ben finally approaches Jackson and says that he needs to have sex with his wife, and Jackson understands. And in the next scene, we see that Jackson and April have slept together. And we'll talk a little bit more about Bailey and Jackson and Ben and all that.
Yeah, in post-op. At the end of the second episode, Maggie and Amelia have a really thought-provoking and vulnerable discussion about racism and white privilege. Amelia is concerned that she has done some things towards Stephanie that could be interpreted as racist, and she goes to Maggie to try and have her tell her that either it was or it wasn't. Maggie explains that racism is everywhere and shows up in small and large ways. She says it's present everywhere all the time. People assume she's a nurse. She goes to board with her first class ticket on a plane and they say they're not boarding coach yet. She says it's sometimes a low whisper and you can ignore it, and sometimes it's loud and annoying and it can get dangerous and it can be ridiculous, like now. Amelia says she doesn't even notice it, and Maggie encourages her to start noticing it. She ends up saying to her, "So listen to the words that are coming out of your mouth and believe them. This is not a small thing, and I'm glad that you feel like you can talk to me about it, but I don't speak for all Black people. I'm not the spokesperson. No one is, and it is kind of annoying to be asked questions like I am. But one piece of advice that I can give you that I think we would all agree with is that if you feel uncomfortable having done it, check your white privilege and don't do it again."
All right. Those are our rounds. And now we get to freestyle.
Yeah. First notes. You go first.
Mine is, Mare is wearing a high ponytail. She only does this when she's like trying. Didn't she do when she was trying to impress people?
She did that one time. Catherine Heigl. Izzy made her wear a ponytail when Derek's mom was coming.
Okay, Derek's mom. I couldn't remember if it was his mom or sisters, but it's interesting to me that like, and it was so, remember she hated it. It was very out of character. And it's weird that now she's like.
In a high pony.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. Mine is, the patient shame is the elephant in the room. And I said, what are we going to be talking about this episode? Like, cause obviously it's going to have to do with shame.
Yeah. I liked the end part of the monologue. Because, I mean, also, I just got done listening to a shitload of Brené Brown when I was driving, and Glennon Doyle. I was in a mood on my ride home from Indy. And, I mean, that they both talk about that so much. And shame is just such like a, it says something about shame can choke you. And that's like, it's such a true statement.
Can also be like a driving force, you know?
Yeah, so. Right.
I love Maggie in the beginning of the episode where she's like trying to talk, get like Amelia and Meredith to talk to each other in the car, and nothing's working. So she says, it doesn't burn when I pee anymore.
I know, she just keeps going and gets to that.
Yeah.
I said, I am Maggie. I hate awkward silences.
Mm-hmm.
Like even when I'm shooting weddings, I sometimes have to like physically like shut my mouth and be okay with silence.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's why a podcast is great for us. We fill.
Filled a lot of space. A lot of space.
Yeah, I loved that scene as well. I guess I want to, I just want a really quick start with our last round, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So I remember that, you know, there's been in, I would say in season 17 and 16, there's, especially 17, there's been really good conversations about like race and white privilege on the show. Jackson played a big role in that. Maggie as well, and like Winston in the addition to him in the cast, and just all of their opinions and like experiences being shown. I think I was talking with Chris when he was here visiting, or when we watched a certain episode, and we both like, I had forgotten this conversation,
mm-hmm.
which I feel like, so season 12, I mean, that was quite a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it is a conversation now that if it was in like a current episode, it'd be like, oh, like this is, but I feel like I wish that I'd remembered it more, because I think it is an incredible piece of advice for white people, first of all, and just like a really sensitive way and real way. Like the way they portray Amelia is, I think really honest to how some people can be. Like we all have had moments like that. I'm speaking as a white woman where we like, we need to check in with ourselves. And I feel like Oh, they also did a great job of like Maggie explaining the exhaustion of always having to be the teacher and explaining.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was a really great conversation slipped into an episode where like the whole subject of the episode wasn't about it, but it was a really important conversation. And I just think that both of those, well, Maggie especially has had like some really great moments on the show where mm-hmm. she like is educating when it's not her job to, but I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. And I also agree with like the point that it wasn't about the whole episode. And I think that made it feel more honest too.
Yes.
Because you know what I mean? Like, it was like a natural conversation. Mm-hmm. Like it felt very real, like something that would happen in real life, which we want our shows to like replicate, right? So yes. It was like, you know, here comes Amelia talking to Maggie, like thinking that it's no big deal. I'm going to talk to you about this thing that I'm uncomfortable with that I feel like I might have done. And I need you to support me and tell me and make everything okay for me. And Maggie recognizing like, why is the burden on me?
Right.
To do this for you.
Right.
And so, yeah, I just thought, I agree with you too. I don't know that, like in watching it, I do remember it, but I wouldn't say it's like one of those scenes that like sticks out in my brain about Grey's Anatomy. But I feel like now it will.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like with definitely with doing this podcast, but then also with like current seasons. I mean, we were talking about this stuff years ago on this show.
Right. And I just really, I exactly what you said, that it felt very real life to me, both aspects of it, both in that, like, I don't think that Amelia is a bad person, but she did need to learn that that is not like, she needed to learn about microaggressions.
Yes.
And also just like, she's lucky that she had someone like Maggie, because otherwise like the way she was approaching that was not the right way to go about it. And so I think it was just like a really, I want to say it's like a teaching moment. Like the whole thing was like,
well, I also thought it was really interesting too, the way Amelia talks to Stephanie about it, like not being able to say exactly mm-hmm. what she was thinking and like kind of,
she never says the word racist.
No, she just skirts
like
and she dances and like, she makes Stephanie kind of be like, well, I thought that at first, but I don't. But she can't even say it.
Right.
You know, which I thought was really important too. Like that white fragility of like, I don't want you to see me in this way. And I can't have
uncomfortable. Say the word. Yeah.
I can't have direct uncomfortable conversation.
Is that in that, or Maggie, or I forget which of them in which conversation say like, spit it out, Amelia. Like just use your, or I think Maggie says, use your words.
Yeah.
Because Amelia is like kind of starting to do that again. But yeah, I just wanted to start with that and just say that I was really like, oh, damn, this was a good conversation. And I did not realize it was in season 12.
Yes.
And Maggie is becoming a favorite of mine.
Yeah, I don't remember. Like, I remember liking Maggie, but this rewatch, I like love Maggie.
I know.
I love her with...
I'm sad she's not talking to DeLuca anymore.
I know.
Why
aren't they...
Why? I like, oh, she's like, when you have the sex, like, what else is there?
Yeah.
And I'm sad because I think they had great chemistry. And now I'm remembering, I don't think her and Riggs do.
No, I don't. Well, she doesn't ever get with Riggs.
Well, she wants to, though.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, because...
Okay.
Well, and... Yeah, so anyways, I'm jumping all over.
Oh, you're talking about Mare and... No, I'm confused. It's fine.
She ends up liking Nathan Riggs, but
right.
then Riggs likes Meredith.
Okay.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. If you've never seen the show.
but anyways, I just wanted to hit that one first. And Amelia is very erratic.
I feel like her character has always been that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I feel like she still is now in this. I mean,
she just said no to Link. Spoiler alert.
Do we think that was the right choice?
I hope that they work things out.
Yeah. Oh.
But also maybe she
Oh God,
doesn't
I might have to sneeze. But if I do, I'll mute my mic.
I thought you were just about to say my mic's been on mute this whole time.
Oh, by the way, my mic's been on mute. No.
Fuck it. I would release the episode with just
my It's just voice. You talking like, uh-huh, yeah.
Okay, can we talk about Riggs? Or do you want to talk about something else first?
No, we can talk about Riggs.
Quick thing that doesn't have to do with the show, but has to do with him.
Yeah.
So I'm watching Virgin River
on
Netflix, season 3 just came out.
Yeah.
And he's on that. Many of my notes are saying like, wow, he has an accent and he's terrible at hiding it. And then I was like, why the fuck does he sound like he's from Australia or New Zealand? And then it came out that like he is from there. Also in real life he is.
Yeah.
And they make his character from there, which I didn't remember that part.
No.
And so I was like thinking, oh, this must have been one of his early acting gigs. He's not good at an American accent. Cause on Virgin River, he's all American. And then I was like, it was just a stupid note, but I was like, what the fuck? Do you remember him being from New Zealand?
No, I don't. Well, kind of. I remember him kind of having an accent.
Oh, see, I think
it's because you've been watching Virgin Rivers.
Yeah, it's confusing me.
Yeah.
I think he's very attractive. Also,
I like forgot that he came this early on. And he's really not here for that long, is he?
Maybe 2 seasons?
Yeah, he's not.
He's definitely here next season because this finale, I don't
think. It's not the sister thing.
Right.
But I do think it's interesting, too, like if we can kind of like pull in the Owen thing with Nathan, that like, as I wonder what we were feeling like as viewers right now, because we have no idea why Owen hates Riggs so much.
I don't remember why Owen hates Riggs.
So something to do with his sister who like died, but she, spoiler everyone, if you've never watched, go 30 seconds ahead, where she died. But really I think she was taken as like prisoner of war and they didn't know, but Nathan was like engaged to her or something.
But why?
And I think he like left her behind or something like that. I really don't remember, but I know it has something to do with his sister.
Is it Owen's sister?
It's Owen's sister, yeah.
Oh, right. Okay, yes.
Yes.
Also, what are the odds we meet like Owen's mom? No one ever mentions his sister. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no.
Also, how has he never mentioned his missing sister to Christina?
Exactly. couldn't be bothered.
Megan,
by that.
Right? Isn't that
her
name?
Mm-hmm. And the mayor does that crazy surgery on her.
Yeah, I remember that. I also feel.
And she has like a son.
Yeah. What? So Owen has a nephew?
Yeah. Or like.
Or no, she has him over there.
Yes.
I also feel like there's parts of him that are very Owen-like in the sense of like he's a trauma surgeon. He's also cardio, which is cool. But he like, you know, when he, the first day that he's working with, this is the second episode I'm talking about, when he's working with Maggie and he's just jumping in and doing things and kind of being extreme. I feel like he's like Owen in that sense. Like they don't know any other way because mm-hmm. that's how they worked. But also he feels a little bit more respectful, less angry than Owen.
Yes.
Which again, Owen, I feel like has a lot of, which it's been tackled, like his PTSD affects a lot of that. But I also feel like it would be hard when Owen has that panic attack, which is so sad. Like, I'm sure seeing someone that you have not seen and without warning.
Oh, would trigger so many feelings.
Yeah, like I almost think part of his anger at Bailey isn't just because he didn't know, but it's because it triggered all of this stuff that he feels is unfair for him to have to deal with.
It made me sad, like, I kind of have a note of like, oh no, he's having a panic attack. And I was like, kind of like, not, it's kind of being like, facetious, like being like, oh, we need Christina here to like take care of it. But it's like, it is sad that he hasn't like built a community of support,
right?
So, like, to help him through this. And I know in later seasons Owen ends up going to therapy, which I think is really important.
Can't wait to get to that.
Yeah, that's some of my favorite. But it makes me sad that like Christina is maybe the only one who really has insight into that. And so if I may talk about the Meredith thing.
Yes, please do.
So obviously like Owen's super upset and he won't tell Amelia what's going on. So Mare goes to try and talk to him and she ends up saying to him, like, I promised Christina that you, like, I wouldn't let you get all dark and twisty. So like, what's going on? And Owen won't tell her. And Meredith pretty much asks like, all I need to know, do we hate him? And Owen says, we hate him. And Mare goes, all right, then we hate him. And Nathan in the elevator asks Meredith to go get drinks afterwards. And she says, I'm a friend of Owen
Hunt's.
And so pretty much, no, I'm not going to get drinks with you. And John was like kind of confused by it. And I explained to him, like, what Meredith is really doing right there is being loyal to Christina. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, she's being loyal to Owen, but it's ultimately about her friendship with Christina, that she made a promise to her that, like, she's going to look out for
goosebumps.
That she's going to look out for Owen and, like, make him be her person. And it's just something that she would do to Christina about, like, not push about why, but if yes. we both hate him, or if you hate him, then I hate him, and I don't need to know anything else. And I just thought that was like...
And sometimes...
Very loyal.
There will be a time where maybe he'll be ready to open up and she can attempt to like fix this problem, whatever. But I think it shows that sometimes what you need from your friends is not a fix. You just need them to sit in it with you.
You literally, most of the time, people just need you to meet them where they're at.
Yes.
And that's what Meredith did for Owen in that moment. And I don't love Owen. We know that. Yeah. We both don't love Owen. But, like, I'm happy that he had someone mm-hmm. just be in it with him. Because everyone deserves that, regardless of how fucking shitty you are.
Yes. And I think, too, like, that approach was the only reason that he, like, responded to her. Because I'm sure Amelia was like, what's wrong? What can I do? And that's not... He just needed someone to just be in it. And it's funny, too. You can kind of see when Riggs asks her... he makes that funny statement about like, oh, your name's on the stationery. What's that story about? And mm-hmm. Doesn't she say like, it's a very long story,
yeah. uh-huh.
which I love that just that whole exchange. And then, she says, that's too long a story to tell. And then you can see her almost like want to say yes to him because I don't know, he's an attractive dude. And he's like, that was a funny interaction sort of, but yeah, that she stands by and just says that is,
yeah.
Any other first impressions of Riggs? I mean, his interaction with April, I think, is jarring for Jackson to see mm-hmm. because I think it makes the fact that April went off and actually had an experience. She wasn't just gone. Like, I feel like it hits him in a different way.
I would agree with that. Like, that he has connections. Also, that she, what does Riggs
call
her? Yeah. Like, she had a personality. She had something that out there that also, I think, she's the same back home. You know,
yes.
she just like put all of her energy somewhere else. And I think that was kind of important for Jackson to see too. I don't know.
I forgot that he knew April.
Riggs?
Like, yeah. Like that.
Yeah,
that's like
that's how I didn't remember. That's how he got brought on the show.
And I think too, it was interesting too, in that when Riggs and April are up in the gallery and she's like, he's like, oh, so that's Jackson, whatever. And she's like, yeah, he wants a divorce. And I like that Riggs is like, well, he told you not to leave and you left. Like, what
yeah.
did you... I think it was another good reality hit for April of like, oh, like maybe what I was expecting when I got home was unrealistic.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Okay. Who else do we want to talk about? Do we want to talk about Mare and Penny?
Sure.
Okay.
Meredith wants to rise above. She goes.
She's not doing a great job.
No, she goes into the day, which that sentence to me, all I can think of is Michelle Obama saying, when they
yeah.
go low, we go high.
Yeah.
I feel like that's just what it's in my head. But yeah, she tries and she is just grilling her. They're not laughing at Penny's jokes. Like,
yeah.
Part of me, though, is like she's grilling her, but Penny's also getting the answer wrong.
Right. And it's very like it's very obvious what she's grilling her on is her missing steps.
Yes.
Like, and there's multiple times that she has missed a step. And it starts out with just like not doing a cross panel or something. Mm-hmm. And she's like, all right, well, let's not miss any of these steps because like we don't want that. And then in surgery, when she's like dictating what is going on, she misses a huge step. And Mare gets super mad and said, this person would have died had you not clamped the hilum. So
oh, great memory.
Thank you. And Richard's there and Richard is not.
Right. Cause Richard is the teaching king.
Yes.
And he accuses Meredith of making, well, first of all, I like that he admits that he knew that Penny knew her losses, essentially. And Mare's like, and that wasn't reason enough. She asked him, they like, don't speak after that. And when they talk again, he says that he was accused of coddling Meredith by Bailey, right?
Yes.
And that he didn't want to do that. So he put aside his personal reasons and hired Penny. And then he says, like with you, I did not want to see you every day. Like, see, it's like you are an image of your mother, blah, blah, blah. But I put that aside and went against it. And I feel like he's telling her just like, you need to do the same. Like, which
Meredith too, she's like, I think Derek would have loved him or loved her.
I know.
Like, you know.
Which, I love when she goes to the sanctuary.
I know. And Alex thinks she's praying, but she's talking to Derek, which I think is really special. And then Alex just stays with her, which is really sweet.
Well, that's why when she's like, I'm waiting for divine intervention or whatever. And yeah. then he puts his arm around her. And part of me was like, that's the divine intervention. Yeah. Like
your friend is here with you. And
I think she's right. Derek like would have liked her.
Yes, I think he would have.
Because even when he was dying, wasn't he like, yes, listen to the smart girl. Like yes. his brain was saying that. So...
I mean, but so then the next episode, Meredith ends up kind of like coddling Penny and like not really teaching her, not really letting her around. But she's trying to rise above, but then doesn't want her to like be. So like at first she's too hard on her and then she's not teaching her. And Callie is involved in all moments of this, which is like, I can understand why Callie is, but like, I totally understand where Penny's coming from, where she finally yells at Callie and is like, you're embarrassing me. Mm-hmm. I don't need you to fight my fights for me. And then Meredith's like kind of impressed by that. But then she turns to Meredith and kind of has it out with Meredith too, which I was really impressed with Penny that she finally stood up for herself and was like, be mean to me, like be hard on me.
I can take it.
All of these things, I can take it, but don't go easy on me or don't like... avoid me or not teach me anything. And so she ends up letting her be part of the surgery, right?
Yeah, she asked her to, she's like, are you going to stand back there the whole time or do you want to see this, whatever they're doing? And she sees it. And then she's like there with it's Mr. Jaffe. And then she's like there with him when the family's all there. And that's when Joe gets mad. Joe's just going through.
Well, she was all mad at her that she has been on this case for so long, right?
Right. Yeah, it was her patient and blah, blah, blah. And I also think she's just still hurt by the comment Stephanie made and, like, can't get over it.
Yeah.
That she might not be as good. And so I think it's just all affecting it.
Yeah. I, like, in this rewatch, I'm, like, not loving Joe.
I know. I feel...
What are you going to say?
I don't want to say... I feel like anytime we say something bad about a character, we get in trouble.
Well, we can say whatever we want. This is our podcast and we're allowed to have opinions. And also, we're allowed to change them next episode.
Okay, great. I might change this. She feels... And I don't like using this term because I also think I'm basic. But she just doesn't feel interesting to me yet, maybe. Or like she's...
She's
very catty. Just like...
I do feel like what you're saying, and I think her character does grow and expand.
Yes.
But like right now, it doesn't seem like she has a lot of depth to
her. We don't know the stuff about her husband.
Right.
Or the abuse, which is sad. Not that abuse makes you a better person, but like she just is like.
I think how she is being portrayed and how she is acting is catty, and she is not able to like own her own shit of like. Like you said, like maybe she's not as good or, you know, she thinks like to me when it feels like very like I'm the victim of all this stuff happening to me in the hospital. And like, and then Penny comes in and she steals my surgery and all these circumstances are coming to me and I can't be a great doctor because of that.
Right.
When really I think like. Yeah, I don't know. I think she grows as a character. But right now. She just seems a little whiny.
I also think I can say that I really love, like, I like her growth. I love her movement into therapy later on.
Yes.
And, like, her experiences, but I still don't really like her.
That's fair. You don't have to
like her.
She's
not my favorite character. I think also I was so attached to Alex that no one felt good enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, I mean.
Except me. I'm good enough.
And then, I mean, I think I like her.
I love her therapy episodes when she throws
the
ball.
I liked her a little bit more when she was having... No, she's not the one Glasses invited Helm to come live with them. It wasn't Joe. And then Joe moves out or whatever. So yeah. I was like, that was nice of her. It wasn't her.
No.
She's just going through.
She's going through stuff.
She's going through it, you know?
What do we need to discuss here? Can we maybe talk about, we can't talk about Ben. We're talking about that later. Well, also Penny and Callie are like dating again.
Right. Oh, can we please talk about Arizona and Richard going to?
Yes. I know I didn't have this as a round, but it's definitely a talking point.
Dude, I love.
She needs a wingman or a wingwoman.
Arizona needs a wingwoman. She needs to go to the bar and she needs to, you know, start dating again, get out there. But she hasn't dated in a long time, so she doesn't want to go alone, which I totally get. And so she's trying to get all these people to come and no one wants to come. So she mentions trivia and Richard is in.
But I love that Alex first goes, you can't say trivia and fun in the same night. Like there's no such thing. And he spouts off, Richard spouts off a fact, just a random fact. He's like, did you know this? And they were like, no. And he's like, well, I do.
And so he's ready. He is ready and willing to be a part of this trivia team and go out.
Is that like a lesbian bar, right?
It is. Yeah. And to go out with Arizona. And then they're sitting there and Richard's like getting ready for the trivia night. He's like naming the team and shit. And Arizona has to own up and be like, Richard, I'm really sorry. Like, I don't give a shit about trivia. I need a wingman. I need to start dating again. I'm really nervous. And I love that he's just like, are you into tattoos? Do you like glasses? Like, he is like, okay, I will shift. I will pivot and I will be your wingman.
Yes. I loved that moment so much. He's just, he's a little heartwarming to me. And so maybe we can talk about him and Maggie. I actually gave him, spoiler alert, I will prove my point later. I gave him Catherine Avery Award.
Oh, you did?
Because I also think, so he has his old friend Paul and his daughter come in. They were in a car accident. Paul was driving. Paul has diabetes. He hasn't told his daughter that he has that like diabetic nerve pain. You know, he comes out with them with the like, you don't have kids, you don't know. And Maggie and Richard are both in that room. And I thought it was really impressive to me that Richard wasn't like weird and hiding things. He like talked to Maggie straight up about it and then had that speech to Paul about how he was so proud of the daughter that he got to meet that came out of this moment of shame. And I like that he then puts the ball back in Maggie's court where he says like, she's like, you didn't say it was me. And he's like, well, that's not my story to tell. Like, but just for the record, if I am very fine with you telling anyone. And I just think like it was a very like mature moment in which he sometimes doesn't have those. And I really do think he does love Maggie and is so excited that he has this relationship. And then he was a great wingman. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you just made your argument for
the... And he convinces Paul to talk to his daughter.
Which... Yeah, I was really happy that, I was really happy too that he ends up telling this, he tells Paul that Maggie is his daughter, but he also doesn't say like, and there she is.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it's just this understanding. And then I like to, that was the episode that they were talking so much about shame. And he was like, I didn't think that anything good could come out of all of the shame and, you know, that I felt. But it did. Like, something really beautiful came out of this.
And I think for Paul, by telling his daughter, it's only going to bring good things. He's not going to live in shame anymore. He's going to be able to share his problems. The daughter's going to feel like her dad is being open with her. Like, there's just, I do think that coming out of shame and being honest and vulnerable is a great thing. And I feel like Richard rose above and did that. I also think, I'm sure a lot of his like 12 steps program has helped him be really good at that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just love him.
Love him too.
What about, we didn't really talk too much. We don't really have to, but felt so bad for that little boy with his hands.
I know.
And I did think it was unfair that April lied to Jackson.
Yeah, like, of course it was unfair. She manipulates him all of the time. This is just another way that she's doing it, you know? Saying, like, well, I didn't tell you because you would have said no. And it's like, well, yeah, I would have said no because it's impossible.
Right.
He ends up doing it, of course. But, like, it's just another way that April goes over Jackson's head.
Yes. And, I mean, it was very, like, exciting, good grades. I think, like, when Callie and him were in the surgery and they, like, found the hand. Like, I love good surgery stuff. And then I love a good, like, that kid afterwards when he saw his hands. I also like the idea that they didn't tell him they were going to save his hands because they weren't sure. And, like, putting hope in people when it shouldn't be there.
Yes.
And I don't know why, but I got GGBs when the little boy was like, I can hold a ball.
I know.
I wrote weeping.
Oh. And they give like a slight.
Oh, the slowest high five.
Yeah, that was really sweet too.
Oh, he also really fast. I'm so sorry. I'm skipping around. But Richard dancing the bump.
Oh, yeah.
I part of me definitely thinks because James Pickens Jr. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. He, I feel like in his Instagrams, he's often grooving and dancing, and that's like a part of Richard's character. And I wonder if it's like a part that he has
brought into it. Yeah. I love it.
Bumpy.
Bumpy.
There's a dance, you see.
Yeah.
April and Jackson sleeping together. Do you have anything to say about that?
Well, now we know how Harriet is.
Yeah, I was wondering when that was. That long hug.
That was really sweet. But the look on their faces after they've had sex, they're both like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, I don't think they... I think after they had sex, they realized they...
Shouldn't have done that.
Shouldn't have.
Yeah. And then they're going to be connected to each other for the rest of their lives.
Which is funny. I wonder if April's realization of that, too, is that... Not that she doesn't love him anymore, but like that she maybe has come to terms that they're not right.
Yeah.
Not just Jackson feeling that way. Because it wasn't like she was smiling and he looked like fuck. They both looked like that.
Yeah.
Never a good feeling.
No. Been there, done that.
But the hug was so intimate.
And it's just sad, too, like that part where she's like, about to ask him, do you want to like come back? And he is like, and then Rick shows up and they do invite him and he's like, no, you two go.
And they're like reminded of the real world. It's like they leave the real world for a second and then get thrown back into it. I just thought the way that like, it really looked like a hug where you feel really good in that person's arms and like the way his hand went on her head and like pet her hair.
Yeah.
I always tell Jake, I'm like, please just when you hug me, put your hand on my head. But now he does it and I'm like, you're only doing this because I told you.
You can't win.
There's no winning.
Can't win.
I'm trying to think if I have any... Don't have a lot to say about this, but I don't understand the storyline of why they put that mom in there that slept with the...
Yeah, I don't really...
I didn't even put it in a round because I didn't want to talk about it.
I mean, I think they were just talking about, like, you'll learn, like, Owen was pretty much telling this intern, like, you'll see things that we see, you know, like, I guess, like, moment of...
I hated that they phrased the woman as like, just because her husband doesn't pay attention to her and she raises this child who has disability problems, that then she, any man that is concerned with her child.
Yeah.
I was like, that's just weird.
Yeah.
Also, Doc Knocker.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was weird. I didn't even like it. Also, who was that intern? We don't ever like see him again. The guy that like didn't notice that the Gary had swallowed that there'd be a battery.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really think. Oh, we did learn that one intern's name, and I can't remember it now. Like Moss, maybe, or something?
Oh, that sounds close.
Yeah,
that
whatever.
That's about right. All right.
All right. Should we do notes and trivia?
Yeah. All right. So for the first one, this episode's title originated from the musical The Me Nobody Knows.
The episode scored 8.5 million viewers.
The table read took place on September 14th, 2015.
This is the first episode to feature Martin Henderson as Dr. Nathan Riggs. This marks the first time since the premiere that an actor is added to the main cast without making a couple of guest appearances first.
At first, Martin wasn't supposed to appear in this episode, but it was decided to bring him onto the show a few weeks early.
Although there are stills from the episode of Arizona, Meredith and Alex in the cafeteria, the scene wasn't in the episode itself. It also wasn't featured among the deleted scenes on the season's DVD set.
Maybe they were just eating.
Yeah.
The same thing goes for the scene where Stephanie and Amelia walk down the hallway while looking at something on a phone, presumably the sex tape.
Oh, right.
Oh.
The sex tape. This episode's title originated from the song Something Against You, originally sung by Pixies.
It scored 8.02 million viewers.
The table read for the episode took place on September 28, 2015.
The storyline with Gary was filmed for episode I Choose You, but it was decided to postpone it to a later episode. Maybe that's why it felt like it didn't fit in, because it was supposed to be on a different episode.
Yeah. This is a dumb line. Andrew DeLuca has no lines in this episode.
And a goof, in the scene where Arizona asks Alex to join her for trivia night, Justin Chambers' tattoo is still visible on his right wrist. Normally, Justin's tattoos are always covered with makeup as Alex does not have any. The watch on Alex's hand switches from left to right during the
shoots. Oh my God.
Who wears their watch on different hands?
Yeah, you should see John's, you've seen his wrist.
His watch tan line?
Oh, and how like indented it is, and he wears it so tight. I'm like, your hand's going to fall off. It's true. It might.
My Catherine Fox goes to Richard for reasons I said. And because he talks about like his personal reasons to hire Penny and Meredith. And the show wouldn't exist if he didn't hire Meredith. So,
you know, I'm good with Richard too. I agree with all of your arguments for him. So I will agree on that.
Great. I feel like I'm rating these high. I rate it, well, not that high, 7.5. The reason I'm going to say that is that these feel new to me because I don't quite remember them. So I find myself like being like, ooh, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Which is a fun feeling to have when watching a show.
I gave it a 7. I mean, it was fine.
Yeah.
You know, but there wasn't like, I wasn't super bored.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like, oh my God, these are amazing.
Yeah.
They felt like middle episodes
to me. For sure. I just think I'm also into Riggs because of Virgin River.
Yeah, probably.
I'm confusing them as the same character, which means he's a bartender in a small town.
Which he is a doctor in a large town.
Yep.
So a little bit different.
He's got great hair in Virgin River. It's very long, Derek-like. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you again for listening. If you're a patron, stay tuned for post-op. And time of death is 12:58.